You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
We are starting a brand new series entitled The Apostles' Creed. That term, Apostles' Creed, dates back to the year 320 AD, or 329, between the years 320 and 329 AD, where the first documents where they found this term, Apostles' Creed. The significance of the Apostles' Creed is that this is the one term or the one document that whether you're a Roman Catholic, whether you're a Presbyterian, whether you're a Methodist, whether you are a Lutheran, whether you are a Reformed person, whether you are an Anglican, whether you're Greek Orthodox, or whatever you are in shape or form as a Christian, this is the one document that everybody agrees with. And the importance and significance of this is for also to us to understand in this modern era that Christianity did not begin with us in the future or where we are today. Christianity actually dates all the way back to hundreds of thousands of years. And at the beginning of 2,000 years ago, this document somewhere in 320 AD surfaced. Theologians and leaders and apostles and men of God wrote this thing. And to this day is being applied to us. And it's the significance of that. It's really just the, when you talk to a Roman Catholic and you're not in agreement, talk about the Apostles' Creed and all of a sudden you're agreeing about the same thing. You may have heard this if you were a Catholic, or if you were not a Catholic, you're a Protestant, Lutheran, whatever sort of Christianity or brand of Christianity you have, you may have heard of this document. Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to discuss this creed line by line in order to help us in our faith and come back to the place of understanding what exactly is it that we believe in. Now let me give you three reasons why it's important to study this. The last time we did this in this church was in 2007, roughly about 9 years ago, when we talked about the Apostles' Creed, and it's important to review this for these following reasons. Number one, the Apostles' Creed was written in order for Christians to be able to define their faith so that you know exactly what it is that you believe and what it is that you don't believe. And so there may be differences. You may be the kind of Christian who believes in nothing but prosperity. The question is, whether you believe that or not, the question is, do you believe this because this is what makes you a Christian, not that? You may be a Christian who believes in speaking in tongues. You may be a Christian who believes in so many other things and different facets of Christianity. The basic tenets of Christianity is formed in this creed known as the Apostolic Creed. Defining your faith. In the early days, with all the confusion and the number of ideas pertaining to faith, the writers of this believed that the Holy Spirit had anointed the writers, which is remains anonymous to this day, because to this day, up to this moment in history, all of these different denominations still agree that this is at play. This is something that is worthy of emulating, worthy of discussing. The second reason why this is important in line of defining your faith is the word orthodoxy. That word simply means to have the right belief, believing the right thing, not just believing everything, but believing the right things. That means you're a Christian that understands orthodoxy. That's important for your faith, so your foundations will be strong. Apart from defining our faith, the second reason why this is important is because it allows us to defend our faith. In the early days, we received communion today. In the early Roman days, when they would receive communion, they'd say, the body and blood of Christ, we partake of the body and the blood. People thought Christians were cannibals. That's true. And so historically, the Apostles' Creed was used to explain that that's not cannibalism. Here's what we believe. Here's what we believe about the body and blood of Christ. That if you understand what this stands for and what you're believing, then you really are very clear about your faith, the Apostles' Creed. Defend our faith, and finally, to declare our faith, the ability to speak and say, this is what I believe. The Christian faith is not just a matter of privacy and private belief. The Christian faith is a faith that is declared. There's a confession that comes with Christianity. This is one of our longest series, and today we're going to start with, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. We're just going to do that line today. We're going to start by talking about I believe in God. I have been traveling, landed in Singapore, in and out of meetings from breakfast to evening, crashed in bed, never had time for social media, never had time to watch TV, didn't know what the news was going on. When I finally landed, I got a Viber message from my son, Joshua. And in that Viber message, there was a story about this man, which he's an assistant coach for a B-class basketball team. His name is Monty Williams. Monty's story made it to national news in America and worldwide. But because what happened was, 4 days before Valentine's Day this year, Monty's wife was driving and she had an accident, a head-on collision, and she perished right there. But the reason why it made national news is not because she was Monty's wife, but because of the funeral service, the wake where Monty was about to speak. See, Monty's a Christian. And he lost his wife at the age of 40, mid-40s, early 40s, and they have five children. And hear the heart of what it means when you say, I believe in God. Not I go to church, not I go to Victory, not I attend small group, I believe in God. And this is the wake, the service of Monty Williams. You know, when I was watching that, I watched it about four or five times. And the thing that I noticed when I was watching it was there was no mention of, I believe what my pastor believes. I believe what Victory believes. I believe what my wife believes. I believe what my husband believes. I'm sure this guy goes to church. I'm sure he's discipled. But his declaration is not what other people believe. It's I believe. There's an element of our Christianity that's communal, church, people. A lot of it is personal. Do you believe? The declaration of the Apostolic Creed is not we believe, it's I believe. This is what my faith is. This is what I believe. I wrote some of the quotes of Monty. Doesn't mean it's not hard. Doesn't mean it's not painful. Doesn't mean we don't have hard times. This is hard for my family. But this will work out. But what we need is the Lord. It's so clear to him. It's so simple. I mean, he's got five kids. He's got all these things that he's facing. In the midst of that, he's very clear about what he believes. I believe in the Lord. Further, he said this. Everybody is praying for me and my family, which is right. But let's not forget that there were two people in this situation, and that family needs prayer as well. We have no ill will towards that family. Amazing. In the midst of loss, in the midst of death. In my house, we have a sign that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We cannot serve the Lord if we do not have a heart of forgiveness. Do you believe in God? The Apostolic Creed was written by early Christians who were suffering, who were being martyred, and were declaring, I believe in God. That if nobody else believed in God, I believe in God. Now, it doesn't stop there. The Creed says, I believe in the Father Almighty and the Creator of heaven and earth. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit now about this idea of the Father in heaven. This is what you believe. This is what you and I believe. I believe in God. But it's not just, I believe in God, I believe in this God who is a Father Almighty and the Creator of all things, of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. This is what you believe. This is what we believe. And by the way, if you don't believe it, that's okay. But I just want to make clear to you that if you're saying you are a Christian and a disciple of Christ, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, and He's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. This idea that He's an Almighty Father, and that He's the Creator of all things. It's captured, really, in the book of Acts, chapter 17. It's captured in these verses is this idea of God being the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and He's an Almighty Father. Acts chapter 17, verse 24, the first part of verse 24 says, the God who made the world and everything in it, the understanding that we believe that God is the Creator of all things and that He made all things. The entire world and everything in that world was made by God. And the importance of this is this. If you believe that, then there are three implications to that belief. The first implication is that everything we enjoy is from God. Everything that you and I have, the clothes we wear, the food we eat, the breath we have, all of it is from God. It's kind of like having teenage children. You'd be happy if your teenage kids were here today. It's like when my kids were younger, they sometimes treat your house like a hotel. Okay? They show up whenever they want to show up. My kids were Christians. But I had to one day just gather my sons and tell them and sat them down and said, listen, guys, I need to explain something to you. I love you, but I'm not a hotel operator. I'm the owner of this house, and you're actually enjoying things in this house because of me. And so don't treat this place like a hotel. In fact, if you come here past 2 o'clock, you're not sleeping here. Here's the point. I've got to protect my wife. And if you're going to be a source of security breach for my house, that's going to be a problem. You're going to have to sleep somewhere else. None of my sons ever got home late. Everybody got home on time. Because they knew that everything they enjoy was from me. Remember, one of my sons decided, I don't think I want to listen. This is my son, Joseph, who's now a pastor. He decided, I'm not sure, I want to be independent, I want to live on my own. So he decided to leave the house. He said, I'm going to leave my house, I'm going to find a way. You did that with your parents, I'm going to do the same thing, I'm going to carve it out. So he did. He started living with friends, sleeping in mattresses. And a few months later, about 5-6 months later, he said, I'm back. That's how we treat God. We treat God like he's just some outerly father that we don't need, and then we say, we're back. I need your refrigerator, God. Get a hint. Look around this house. The initials on your bed sheets are mine. Get a hint. Everything in the refrigerator is mine. Everything you're enjoying is mine. And that's what God's saying to us if we say, I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Everything is yours. Every picture in this house is my picture and your picture because you're a member of this family. Every tree you see is a picture of God. Every star you're looking out is a picture of God. That's what you're saying when you're saying this creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Secondly, our world works because of God. That's what you're saying. My world works, my life works because you made it, you define it, I obey you, and if I do that, my world will work. And every time I contradict that, my world won't. And finally, we are horrible sinners. The reality is, the reason why we do that is because we're just wicked. We think that we can live without him. Asked by a pastor recently, he was telling me, how do you survive this thing? You write books, you do things, and people applaud you. How do you make sure you don't get proud? How do you stay humble? I said, I look at myself as a horrible sinner. I see myself on a daily basis, and this is true. I look at myself every day, and I think, God, apart from your grace, if that's God and this is Satan, I'm actually very near here. We sometimes have this illusion because we keep going to church and reading our Bibles that we're somewhere here. The reality is this distance between God and us, light years away. Apart from his grace, apart from us putting our trust in him, we can easily get pushed in here and we're in sin already. That's the truth. When we understand that there's a slim thing here, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus my Lord, but I do understand that it's only that love that keeps me there. If I don't do things the way God ordained it to be, I'm going to get in trouble. Further, he says, being the Lord of heaven and earth, he's not just the Almighty Father. The combination of everlasting Father or Almighty God and Father who's Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, that combination means he is Lord of all things. Means that we're not just believing that God created all things, that he is the boss. Jesus is Lord. The Father is God. He's the boss. He's the ruler. I recently spoke at the conference, and one of the speakers was Ravi Zacharias. Ravi's an amazing speaker. He's an apologist. And I was speaking right after him, so I was under a lot of pressure. Amen? And so Ravi is always just, he's brilliant. He's Oxford, he's all of these things. And I remember he was talking about in one of his talks, he was talking about this idea of the sovereignty of God. That God is the Lord of our lives. He's not just the creator, he's not just a father, he is actually the boss. He just happens to be a nice boss. And he referenced a folklore. It was a folklore from somewhere in the East. Ravi's of Indian descent. I was talking about these horses, talking about this man who had this one horse, and for some reason the horse ran away. And so the neighbor came and said, "Oh, you're so unlucky." And he said, "Your horse ran away." "Oh, you're so unlucky, your horse ran away." And he said, "I don't know, that's life," the owner said. A few days later, the horse came back with 20 other wild horses. So the neighbor came back and says, "Oh, you're so lucky. Your horse came back with 20 other horses." And so then the child liked one of the horses and said, "I'm going to tame this horse." And while the child was taming the horse kicked the boy. And so he broke his leg. And so the neighbor came and said, "Oh, you're so unlucky. Now your boy has a broken leg." A few weeks later, these thugs, bandits, came around, and they were kidnapping the young boys in the town to make them bandits like them. When they got to the man's house, they said, "We can't take this boy, his leg is broken." And so the neighbor came again and said, "Oh, you're so lucky again, because they took all our sons, but your son didn't go because he has a broken leg." And Ravi, standing in front of this audience of thousands of the smartest kids, explained the sovereignty of God. How do you explain why couldn't God have stopped that car from colliding? If God is God and His Almighty Father and He loves you, why didn't He stop it? If you don't understand that God is sovereign over your life, you're going to go crazy. You won't have the grace that man had when he stood up there because he knew God is sovereign over my life. That there are things, there are decisions, there are things that happen in your life that you cannot explain. Now, if you did sin against God, that's a different thing. The importance of understanding this is critical. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and He is Lord. He's the Master. There's things that I'm not going to explain, and Ravi ended this by saying, when you get to heaven, and you look back through the years of your life, you're going to explain why certain things had to happen because God was actually protecting you or blessing you or leading you in places that you didn't know you needed to go to. Once again, the words of Monty. And when we all walk away from this place today, let's celebrate because my wife is where we all ought to be. And I'm envious of that. But I have 5 crumb snatchers I have to deal with. That's when the audience laughed. He was talking about his wife. We didn't lose her. When you lose something, you can't find it. I know exactly where my wife is. When we understand the sovereignty of God, that God rules and reigns, the worst things that can happen to us may happen to us, but we will stand pat. This is the martyrs of Christianity. These are the men and women who were fed to lions. They watched their children being kidnapped, molested, and raped. And yet in the midst of that, they could stand and say, "I know where I'm going, and I know where my family's going. I believe in God, the Father Almighty." We're watering down Christianity, folks. We're getting to the place where we think Christianity is centered on us. And God, you are my waiter. You are my hotel registrant. You do what I say. We're making a mistake. Failing to realize what Christianity really is and what Christianity really is all about. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is served by human hands." Now he's saying, be careful that you underestimate this God. This God is not just your little God that you can put in your pocket, that you go to a building like this and I went to God. God is bigger than this. God is bigger than the earth. God is bigger than the universe. You couldn't fit God in the entire universe because He made all of that. And he says, be careful. Think that God lives in temples made by man. And then he says, nor is he served by human hands. In other words, you couldn't do anything for God. If we think that just because we built ourselves a building and we're evangelizing people, that we're the most important things in here, God does not need us. He wants us. He wants to be with us. He wants us to enjoy his sovereignty. He wants us to enjoy the joy of watching people get saved. But he's not served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Now let me go off on a little bit of a tangent this morning. Somebody told me about this whole issue of Manny Pacquiao. And so I started going to Facebook and social media and internet and started asking people around what's going on. And you've got Christians reacting left and right, and you've got people that are fighting on the internet about these things and saying all kinds of things. Let me tell you what, and I'm saying this to you, not on Twitter, not on Instagram. I'm saying this to you as members of this congregation and as your pastor. What do you do with this situation? The first thing you need to do is stop reacting. You are not chemicals. Only chemicals react. You may have chemicals in your body, but you're certainly not chemicals. You're a person with self-control. You know, when chemicals react, when you have one chemical, you put another chemical, they react. Sometimes when you put a third chemical, it becomes an explosive. Or when you have one chemical, another chemical, and they're reacting and it's on fire, don't throw water in it, because when you throw water, you'll spread all that fire. What you need to do is shut up. None of your business. It's not the end of the world. In 3 months, no one will even remember the argument, and you are probably the one responsible for making it 3 months longer. Don't do it again. You did it for Da Vinci Code. You know who promoted Da Vinci Code? Christians. We're making a big deal out of nothing, and please, don't go there. Why are you reacting? Why are you so insecure about your faith? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. He's bigger than that. He's the ruler of all things. So if I'm not going to react, what do I do? Respond. First of all, pray. Intercede for the situation. Cry out to God for Manny. He's your brother. Stop accusing him. I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I'm just trying to tell you, stop. Pray. Pray for the people who are reacting. Respond. Reach out to people. That's how you respond. Sit down with people. Pray with people. Tell people about Jesus. Yes, homosexuality is a sin. Yes. Nobody's saying it's not. It is. The same way that lying and adultery and stealing and killing is a sin. They're all sins. The point is, there's no point in reacting. Respond. Pray. Love people. Sit with them. Now here's what it says. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. You know what this verse says? He gives breath and life to everybody. You know why you don't have to react? Without God, people are in trouble. Anyone without God is in trouble. How much more people who don't know God? Verse 26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place. He's talking about, he's saying, you know, God does not make all the things. He made all men, all shapes, all sizes, all cultures, all of them. The variety of cultures should not offend you. When you're in another country, it shouldn't offend you. They're different Christians, but they believe in God. Their songs may be different. The way they preach may be different, but they believe in God. Stop this nonsense of thinking that it's about a religious practice. At the conference in CCF, this man walked up to me. I met him. I actually met him in this conference. And as I looked at him, as I was walking towards him, I sensed that he looked like Eric Kison, the actor. As soon as I walked near him, he grabbed my hand and says, Pastor Joey, I heard your message. It was fantastic. By the way, I'm Eric Kison. And he's Singaporean. So I thought, this is weird. He's a funny guy. So he became my friend. Okay, and when he visited here, he prayed for me. He got around me and got a scarf, a red scarf representing the blood of Christ, put it on me. And he got his leaders around me. And they began to sing for me and pray a prayer in song. I never do that. I actually didn't feel comfortable. But you know what? The minute they sang, I could feel the presence of God. The practices are not mine, but I believe in God the same way that this man believes in God. Last week I was in Singapore with him. I was having lunch with him. It was crowded because all of these people were celebrating Chinese New Year, and he was trying to get us some tea. And to win the waitress over, he walks over to her and says, "Excuse me, you need to serve us. I'm Jackie Chan." So this guy's funny. But he loves God. Before I went to Singapore, I was with missionaries to Turkey. They don't do service like this. Our church in Turkey, that's 1% Christian in Turkey. That's 98% Muslim. In other words, it's dangerous to do church there. My wife and I are on our way there. Our church is so small, our service does not look like this. Our church is so small, it's like a room. In fact, it's so different that while the preacher is preaching, you can actually raise your hand and ask a question. The point is this. Christianity is not about practices. Christianity is not about what your preferences are. Christianity is not about tweets and Facebook. Christianity is, I believe in God. If nobody else believed in God, I believe in God. The Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Him. That's why this creed is important. Verse 27, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. These different cultures, these different people, these different practices, they may be different, but they're godly people. These people will find Him as they seek Him. Each culture is there. I've never celebrated Chinese New Year, but I finally realized there's this thing called Lo Hei. When they celebrate Chinese New Year, you see every table has that. They're all standing up, and there's this salad in the middle. The Lo Hei celebration is they take the salad and they have different colors of vegetables. And they'll put the radish, and this is radish, and this fish is representative of this and this and this. And they're all representative of prosperity, and this is green and red and blue. And after all of that, they start to lift the salad and throw it in the air. Okay? And you're supposed to throw it as high as you can, because the higher it gets, the more prosperous you get. So now I'm with my staff, our staff at Every Nation Singapore. And they say, Pastor, we're about to have Chinese New Year lunch. We're going to have Lo Hei, this. And so there we are. We're standing at our office. We're about to have Lo Hei. And this girl, Ivy To, one of our staff, she starts announcing and she starts redeeming these vegetables. The red radish, which is representative of this, is now representative of the blood of Jesus. Jing. The green thing is representative of the life of Jesus. In other words, it was phenomenal. So much so that they can look at culture and say, that red thing, that's not the radish that you think. That's the blood of Jesus. That green thing, that's not the green thing that you think. That's the life of Jesus. That yellow thing, in other words, they were just going on, and then they prayed. It's not cultures, folks. God made all cultures. I've seen Muslims in Turkey that love Jesus. Genuinely love Jesus more than some of you in this room. Who'd be willing to die for Him. I believe in God. the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That's what this verse is saying. That's what Acts is saying. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own prophets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. He said, no, he's not just our maker. No, he's not just the creator of all the world and the entirety of all the world and every culture and every being. He is your Father. You move and breathe and have your being because he is your Father. He's not just your creator. He's not just some Star Wars force. He loves you. I left at 5:45 yesterday. I had to prepare my message for the volunteers and leaders of our kids' ministry at Kaliraya. I was driving from my home, and all of a sudden, this swarm of motorcyclists. Apparently, on Saturday mornings, every motorcycle in the Philippines shows up at 5 in the morning. Long story short, I got there late. I was supposed to be there by 8:15, 8:20, 8:30. I got there at 5 to 9. I haven't had breakfast yet. When this man meets me, made my day yesterday. He said, I'm Emil. He says, Pastor Joey, come. I said, am I late? I hate being late. He says, you're late, but we can extend the worship. I said, what do you need? What do you need? I'm just so hungry. I'm actually very, very hungry. He came back with 2 pieces of hot cake and some scrambled eggs. And I was eating this thing like a wolf. And I sat down and I said, Lord, slow me down. It's not right. I want to be a blessing to these people. I grabbed him and said, Emil, tell me all about you. Tell me how you got into ministry. He said, in fact, before that, tell me how you got saved. And Emil said, you know, Pastor, I was from the squatters. I had no future. For some reason, by the grace of God, I got a scholarship at the UP Diliman. And I ended up a mechanical engineer. I got there, didn't know anybody. Had no friends except for this one guy who reached out to me and said, let me help you enroll. Let me help you pick your classes. Let me help you figure out where you're going through. And he became my friend, not knowing he was a Christian. And he started to invite me to small group. And he figured out a way to make sure that the small group was not talking about Jesus yet, but talking about leadership. And I sat there and I enjoyed it. After 3-4 weeks, they said, do you want to know who the best leader in the world is? And then he said, who? Jesus. And at that point, he was caught. And kept attending and attending and attending until he finally gave his life to Jesus. Graduated as a mechanical engineer, served in a solid waste management treatment plant, while at the same time volunteering as a kid's teacher in our church. And he saw that his kids were throwing paper at him because he was so horrible at the way he preaches. That's when he realized, I need to give my life to these kids. Went into full-time ministry, on his way to becoming one of our pastors. I was listening to his story, but here's what gripped me about him. In fact, I have it in my phone because I said, now remind me what you told me. I didn't realize God's my Father. That he can pluck me out from the deepest, most impoverished situation and take me out of there and bring me here. God's not just a God, and he's not just almighty, and he's not just the creator of all things. He is our Father. And as I close, verse 29 says, being then God's offspring, you are his child. We ought not to think of the divine being like gold or silver or stone. You know what he was saying? Don't think of God as something you can carve. Don't think of God based on your ideas. Don't shape God the way you think he is, or don't even imagine him in the way your arts and imagination of man is. Because who God is, you can't fully explain him. Because if you can fully explain him, then he is not God. There's places where he will give you a revelation of who he is. But if you can fully explain him, he ceases to be God. And any God that you can control and you can explain is your idea of God, which means you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping your own idea of who God is. Which means you're worshiping yourself. God demands that if we believe in him, we're saying, you are Lord. You are our Father. You love us. I want to invite you as we close. And if you don't agree with this, please don't stand up. Don't do this religiously. Do it in faith like the Old Testament Christians, the New Testament Christians, the early Christians who would stand up in public and say of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Not him, not her. I believe in God. I want to invite you as we close this afternoon to stand with me as we read together the Apostles' Creed, kick off this next 7 weeks. And if you're visiting with us, you don't have to join us, but if you are saying, God, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. The count of three, let's read it together. Amen? One, two, three. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. For there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this afternoon, God. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the truth of Scripture that declares you are the maker of all things. And you are also our everlasting, almighty Father. And Lord, today, we believe. We declare by faith, I believe. Father, I pray that you seal these truths in our hearts, and as we go from here, cause us, Lord, to be a blessing to those around us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will not react to the situations around us, but we will respond based on the faith that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.